off and the clock has started.
Here we go.
Welcome to 20 Minutes You'll Never Get Back. I'm Amy, and now here's the guy that writes this stuff, Doug.
She is right. I am Doug. I am Doug Prazak, as a matter of fact. And you're listening to 20 Minutes You'll Never Get Back. Thank you very much for tuning in. I always appreciate that. And I want to start the show with this. I was going over the download list today, and I saw two very interesting things. Someone in Wyoming, Michigan, and somebody in California, Maryland, listened to an episode or two. And I have to ask, doesn't that get confusing? If somebody says, where are you from? And you say, I'm from Wyoming, Michigan. Don't they say, pick one? I'm sorry. Well, anyway, to people in Wyoming, Michigan, and California, Maryland, welcome to the show. And this is something we haven't done in a while, saying hi to a few cities that regularly tune into the show. And Amy has a list, so fire away.
Sure. We want to say hi to Burlington, North Carolina, South Burlington, Vermont, Honolulu, Hawaii, Clinton, Iowa, and Taylor, Michigan.
Thanks, Amy. And I wanted to take a minute here and say hi to the folks in Edenton, North Carolina. Now, last episode, we talked about the ladies of Edenton. And then, you know, after the episode posted, I got to wondering, I wonder if that town is pronounced Edenton. So I just went ahead and did my old California thing and call it Edenton. So if it's really Edenton, I apologize. But anyway, hats off to you ladies out there. And also, I know we didn't get a chance to mention the rest of the world. So next time, I promise I will do that. Amy, make a note of that.
Got it.
And I will try and mention some of the European cities next time. Okay, moving on. So how did this episode come to be? You're probably asking yourself. Well, like many of the other topics, you know, over 122 episodes, it started with me sitting at a stoplight. Across the street from me was a Starbucks. So clearly, I got to wondering, why Starbucks, and what is with that mermaid-looking logo thing? Now, I am very sure that a majority of you Starbucks-drinking Illuminati already know the answer to this, and now you're appalled that I don't. Well, I don't, and I own it. But if you are like me, and you've always wondered, well, I have the answer. As a matter of fact, not only do I have that answer, I have a whole bunch more answers. Just how did some companies get their name? Guess what I did? That's right, research, so you didn't have to. Let's begin with the aforementioned Starbucks. The official heritage statement made by Starbucks themselves says that the founders were looking for a name that would reflect the history of their home city, Seattle. They also wanted to evoke the romance of the high seas and the seafaring tradition of the early coffee traders that were featured in Herman Melville's novel Moby Dick. That led them to brand their chain around the character Starbuck, who was the first mate of the fictitious whaling ship in the book. However, in an interview in 2003, the Starbucks co-founder Gordon Bowker, I don't know, I don't drink coffee, he tells a slightly different story. He said they almost called the company Cargo House, until a business associate of his mentioned that he thought the words beginning with ST were more powerful. They started making lists of ST words, and then someone in their team produced an old mining map, and on the map was a town called Starbow. That reminded Bowker of Moby Dick character Starbuck, and he claims that sounded just right. Beyond that, the name has nothing to do with the book, Starbucks. You may have one or more of these in your car, Bridgestone tires. I figured it was where the company was founded, like Bridgestone, Ohio. Nope, the company is named after its founder, Shojiro Ishibashi. His last name translates to Bridge of Stone. It doesn't get any simpler than that. How about Adobe? If you're like me, you may have thought the company Adobe was named after, you know, the building clay, maybe representing tough and strong like any company would want to be. No. It's named for Adobe Creek, which is a creek that runs behind the area where the founders John Warnock and Charles Getchy lived in Los Altos, California. You know, the good old Adobe Creek. Oh, we are learning so much, aren't we? Here's one for you. Taco Bell. You might think, Mexican food, mission bells. Sadly, no. Taco Bell is named after the company founder, Glenn Bell. Glenn Bell made tacos. Do you know where 7-Eleven got its name? It's not for the lucky numbers on a craps table. The company's first outlets were in Dallas, and they were named Totem Stores. That's because customers toted away their purchases. Some stores even featured native, and that's in quotation marks, totem poles in front of the store. In 1946, the chain's name was changed from Totem to 7-Eleven to reflect the company's new extended hours, 7 a.m. to 11 p.m., 7 days a week. If you've ever bought a pair of athletic shoes, you probably tried on or even bought a pair of Adidas shoes. Adidas shoes. You see, the company gets its name from the founder, Adi Dassler. You take the ADI from his first name and the DAS from his last name, and you've got Adidas, or Adidas. His brother, Rudy Dassler, he went on to found his own shoe company called Ruda, which later became Puma. Did you ever have any toys with the brand name Mattel on it and just kind of wonder why Mattel? Well, it all began in a garage in 1945 as a collaboration between Ruth and Elliot Handler and Harold Matt Matson. They were the designers and engineers who wanted to focus on creativity and innovation and change how kids play. To name their company, they merged Matt's name, Matt, and part of Elliot's name, the L part, you know, Mattel. Choosing that order, I think, was a probably good idea because the name L. Matt just would not have worked for toys. You probably have one in your pocket. You probably have one on your wrist. You probably are using a laptop one. Apple. Why is Apple called Apple? Well, according to Steve Jobs' biographer, Walter Isaacson, Jobs was visiting an apple farm while on a fruitarian diet when it occurred to him that the common apple would provide a fun, accessible name for a computer company. In short, it was catchy, unintimidating, and easy to turn into a logo. And the fact that it had nothing to do with computers made it stand out from the coldness of the IT world. Take that, IBM! As an example, one of the names he considered was the threatening-sounding Executex.
Oh my God.
Good call, Steve. Despite leading to almost 30 years of disputes with Apple Records, the name was perfect. I just say thank God that Jobs didn't go on a pomegranate picking instead, because I'd have to say, yeah, I just got the newest pomegranate watch. Oh, it's late in the recording booth. Are you using a Bic pen right now? Well, Bic is a French company named after one of its founders, Marcel Bic, spelled B-I-C-H. He dropped the H to avoid a potentially embarrassing English mispronunciation of the name. Sound that out, folks. The mascot, Bic Boy, is a schoolboy with a ballpoint pen. It was introduced in 1962, and for some very odd reason, it's also used for their Bic lighters. Do you have a BlackBerry? Don't be embarrassed by it, okay? Own it. But why the name BlackBerry? Well, it's simple. It's because the developers thought the bumps on the keypad on the BlackBerry looked like the bumps on a BlackBerry. You have any of those little plastic bricks laying around the house there? And where'd they get their name? Well, Lego. They got their name from the Danish words leg godt, which means play well. Yeah, that's just really sweet, isn't it? Until you step on one barefoot in the middle of the night. And then I assure you, you're not saying leg godt. How about Google? Okay, everybody has heard that Google is the number one, followed by 100 zeros. But how did the company end up Google? Well, it was born because somebody didn't know how to spell Google. As simple as that. Larry Page and Sergey Brin, they had been calling their initial search engine Backrub because it analyzed backlinks, but it sounded like a massage device. So they decided during a brainstorming session to find a better name than Backrub. When checking to see if the domain was available, the word Google, or G-O-O-G-O-L, the correct way of spelling it, was apparently misspelled using the G-O-O-G-L-E version. So Google, G-L-E, was available, and the rest is history. Google has since become a verb now and is pretty much used worldwide. And you know what you don't hear worldwide? Ask Jeeves. I should go ask Jeeves something. Here's another toy company for you. The Hassenfeld brothers, Henry, Hillel, and Herman, were Polish immigrants living in Providence, Rhode Island, and sold cloth leftovers in 1926 as the Hassenfeld Brothers, Inc. By 1942, they had shifted to be primarily a toy company. By that time, they were calling themselves just Hasbro, shortened from Hassenfeld Brothers. Sprint. Well, Sprint traces its roots back to the Southern Pacific Railroad. The company operated thousands of miles of track as well as telegraph wire that ran alongside the tracks. In the early 1970s, the company began looking for ways to use its existing communication lines for long-distance calling. In the mid-70s, the Southern Pacific Company held a contest to select a new name for the company. The winning entry was SPRINT, which is an acronym for Southern Pacific Railroad Internal Networking Telephony. Is your head exploding? Are you saying, my God, this is such great information? Well, we're going to take a break. When we come back, fasten the seatbelt because I have more stuff to make your head blow up.
You worked too hard, you ate too much, the cheesecake made you greedy. Let your aching head and stomach hear this message from old Speedy. Alka-Seltzer, plop, plop, fizz, fizz, oh, what a relief it is. Plop, plop, fizz, fizz, oh, what a relief it is. Ah, those Speedy Alka-Seltzer bubbles burst into action to relieve your upset stomach and aching head fast. It's only as directed. Oh, what a relief it is. What a relief.
Here's the deal with Alka-Seltzer. The name originally came from a combination of ingredients, buffered aspirin and an antacid that help with indigestion and headaches. But in 2017, the product changed to just, quote, buffered aspirin for pain relief. The reason for the difference is that the Bayer company was going with the trend of having only one ingredient in a medication, mainly for people who take antacids and may be allergic to aspirin and not aware it's in the medication. So there you go. Oh, and 1,000 extra points if you can name the Alka-Seltzer little character's name. He's actually said it in the jingle there. Did you say Speedy? You're right, you win. 1,000 points on the way to you. Okay, it's time for more How Did Companies Get Their Name? How about Coca-Cola? Well, its name comes from the coca leaves and the cola nuts used as flavoring for the soft drink. Eventually, Coca-Cola creator John S. Pemberton, he changed the K of cola to a C because he thought it gave the brand a more fluid appearance. Pepsi. Pepsi was invented in 1893 by drugstore owner Caleb Bradham. The beverage was originally named Brad's Drink, after the inventor. But because Bradham saw the drink less as a refreshment and more as a healthy cola that could aid in digestion, he renamed it 5 years later using the word dyspepsia, which means indigestion. Bradham believed his drink was a healthy, digestive-aiding cola. And now it sponsors Super Bowl halftime shows. Okay, we heard about Adidas shoes, or as you know them, Adidas shoes. How about Nike? Nike was originally known as Blue Ribbon Sports and was founded by Phil Knight. Blue Ribbon Sports were actually just distributors of running shoes made by a Japanese company called Onitsuka Tiger, which is now known as ASICS. By July of 1971, Nike's founders were ready to market their own brand of sports shoe, but they needed a name. Most of the suggestions echoed Puma and other fast animals like the Peregrine or a Bengal Tiger. One of the company's first employees was a guy named Jeff Johnson. He had read an article about Xerox and Kleenex that suggested a successful brand should be a short word with a maximum of 2 syllables and include an exotic letter. Just 5 hours before the first shipment was supposed to go out, Johnson woke up in the middle of the night with the name Nike. The president of the company asked, "What's a Nike?" And Johnson replied, "The Greek goddess of victory." Truth be told, they were not crazy about it, but they were out of time, so they stuck with it. So there you go. I guess the K is the exotic letter. I mean, it's only worth 5 points in Scrabble, so how exotic can it be? What do I know? It worked. You may have heard about this company. It's called Amazon. Well, I have a bone to pick with Amazon right now, but that's a different story. Amazon was nearly called Kadabra, as in abracadabra. Jeff Bezos wanted his online bookstore to work like magic. Bezos actually incorporated it as Kadabra in 1994, but he changed it a year later because he thought the name sounded too much like cadaver. Good thinking there, Jeff. Bezos wanted a name for his company that began with an A so that it would appear early in the alphabetic order. He began looking through the dictionary and settled on Amazon because it was a river he considered the biggest in the world, which he hoped his company would soon be. Jeff, the Nile is the biggest river. I'm just saying. Did you ever have those little candy things, Pez dispensers? The creation of the Pez candy starts as a fine peppermint candy in 1927 by Eduard Haas III in Vienna, Austria. He introduced the candy originally in small tins. The name Pez comes from the German word for peppermint, Pfeffermiz. My German is so good, isn't it? Pfeffermiz. Haas took the P from the first letter, the E from the middle of the word, and the Z from the last letter to make the now brand name Pez. As for those dispensers, on December 2, 1952, Pez was awarded the first U.S. patent for a dispenser, but it was actually just a square top. In 1957, Pez added a three-dimensional character head to the top of the dispenser. For 10,000 points, what was it? Well, if you guessed a Halloween witch, you were right. The witch became the first traditional Pez character head dispenser. Say that fast. I'm going to admit this freely and openly to you people, my friends, that this next one knocked me off my high horse and I fell to the ground and landed with a huge thump. Despite massively popular belief, Arby's does not stand for roast beef. I know, I feel the same way. Hey, you see that Arby's sign? You know what that really stands for? Roast beef. RB, get it? Hey, what a schmutz. Well, here's the answer. Forrest Fuzzy Raphael and his younger brother, Leroy Raphael, wanted to open their own quick service restaurant. The brothers took a chance, and on July 23rd, 1964, they opened their first roast beef sandwich shop in Boardman, Ohio. I have some listeners in Boardman, Ohio. Hey, how you doing? Anyway, the partners wanted to use the name Big Tex, but they were unsuccessful in negotiating with an Akron, Ohio businessman who was already using that name. Forrest said, quote, "We came up with Arby's, which stands for RB, which is the initials of Raphael Brothers." He added, "I guess customers might think it stands for roast beef, and yeah, that's okay." Pringles. You like Pringles? In 1956, Procter & Gamble, they set out to create a perfect potato chip. They went to work on a new recipe that included a paste, yum, of dehydrated potatoes, rice, corn, and wheat. It used a cookie cutter to stamp out perfectly saddle-shaped chips. They named the creation Pringles Newfangled Potato Chips. Why Pringles? Well, here we go. Nobody really knows, but there's a long-standing theory that the name comes from Mark Pringle. He worked at Procter & Gamble, and they cited him in a patent, but that hasn't actually been confirmed. There's another theory that the chips could be named for two Procter & Gamble advertising employees. Both lived on Pringle Drive in Ohio. But, you know, no one really knows, and I can't answer every question. Sorry. How about Toyota? The Toyota Motor Corporation was founded by the Toyoda family, but changed its name because Toyoda takes 10 strokes of a pen to write, while Toyota, in both the katakana and hiragana systems, uses only 8 strokes. 8 is considered a lucky number in the Japanese culture. And lastly, Häagen-Dazs. Founder Reuben Mattis was a Jewish immigrant from Poland, and he named his ice cream company Häagen-Dazs as a tribute to Denmark's exemplary treatment of Jews during World War II. The only country which saved the Jews during World War II was Denmark, so I put together a totally fictitious Danish name and had it registered. So there you go. Yeah, the name Häagen-Dazs doesn't mean anything. It was strategically chosen by its founders to sound Danish and to, quote, convey an aura of the old world tradition and craftsmanship. And with that, we're wrapping up episode 123. But first, what have we learned? Well, we learned that somebody in Silicon Valley doesn't know how to spell the word Google. We learned that Starbucks just stole its name from a book. And we learned that despite what Doug says, Arby's does not stand for roast beef. It stands for the Raphael Brothers. I am so embarrassed. That will do it for this episode. Thank you very much for listening, and I will talk to you next time on 20 Minutes You'll Never Get Back. Bye-bye. Well, that's just fantastic. Now I want an Arby's sandwich. Hi, it's me again, Doug. I want to take up a couple more seconds of your time just to remind you, if you want to stay informed of when the next podcast is posted, all you need to do is sign up at on that Instagram machine. It's at 20MYNGB, 20MYNGB, and that means 20 minutes you'll never get back. If you sign up there, you'll always see when the next podcast is uploaded. And if you want to leave some comments, by all means, please do go to the website at 20minutespodcast.com. So it's 20minutespodcast.com. And you can leave your comments there. It also tells you how you can be an announcer for the show. So take a look at those two things if you'd like and stay informed. And as always, thank you very much for listening to 20 Minutes You'll Never Get Back. Bye-bye.